The next one I was interested in was, of course, Martin Luther. On this list, Martin Luther's on the list of writers who are quoted or articles in this website. So I looked up, what they had for Martin Luther. And, of course, it didn't take long to realize that Luther taught some of the same errors these people are propagating, but from a different angle. It wasn't quite the same, but they fit. What Martin Luther taught, his errors fit their errors. Because his view of belief, his view of faith, is much more in line with the views of these religious nutcases than it is with the scripture. I've told you before, I've gone through this over and over again probably, that the Martin Luther and the Reformers, they overreacted to the work of salvation gospel of Roman Catholicism, right? They went too far the opposite direction. So that belief, what they call faith, is where we talk about belief. So that belief became the only thing that was necessary for redemption from start to finish. And an article is on this site about Martin Luther's life and quoting his teachings, quoting a lot of his stuff. This is what Martin Luther was quoted to have said. Okay, direct quote from Martin Luther. That's why it's on here. He said this, quote, "Every Christian is by faith so exalted above things that in spiritual power he is completely Lord of all. In spiritual power he is completely Lord of all. Nothing whatever can do him any hurt. Nothing whatever can do him any hurt. But all things are subject to him and are compelled to be subservient to his salvation. This is a spiritual power ruling in the midst of the enemies and mighty in the midst of distress. And it is nothing else than that strength is made perfect in weakness. In all things, I am able to gain salvation, so that even the cross and death are compelled to serve me and work together for salvation. For this is a high and illustrious dignity, a true and almighty power, a spiritual empire in which there is nothing so good, nothing so bad, as to not work together for my good, if only I will believe. If only I will believe. A Christian man needs no work, no law for salvation, for by faith he is free from all law, and in a perfect freedom does gratuitously all he does, seeking neither profit nor salvation, but only what is well-pleasing to God, since by the grace of God he is already satisfied and saved through his faith." Okay? It looks to me like what Luther's teaching fits the false doctrine of these people rather nicely. If a Christian will only believe, said Luther, then, quote, "nothing whatsoever can do him any hurt." If you will just believe, nothing whatever will do you any hurt. Not if you will believe and obey. Not if you obey, believe and do what God says, just if you will believe. Now, I don't think Brother Martin was saying exactly the same thing the writers on the Christ as Us website are saying. I do not. Luther was saying that if we will just believe in the faithfulness of God, if we will just believe in the power of God, then we can be sure, we can rest assured that God's going to honor that faith and God's going to automatically protect us from the power of Satan. He wasn't saying Satan didn't have any power. He didn't say if you believe Satan has no power, he has no power. He was saying if you believe God, God will take care of you and protect you from the very real power of Satan. He wasn't saying the same exact thing these fruitcakes are saying. He wasn't saying if we would just believe Satan has no power, Satan won't have any power. He was saying if we will believe God, God will protect us regardless. So even though Luther's on there, and even though his doctrine fits into their error, his doctrine isn't precisely their error, but it's close enough they can use it. A guy named Fred Pruitt is the next writer I would like to quote, and you might have heard his name on the web because he's popular on the websites. I've seen his name around your different sites, but maybe you didn't. But anyway, he has an article on there called All Things New. All Things New. And he says that the most important thing is not that Christ comes in the clouds and sets the external creation free and all that. The most important thing is that Christ comes in us. Because if Christ doesn't come in you, then whatever happens to the external earth doesn't matter. You won't be part of it. Right? He says that when Christ comes in us, he makes all things new. And of course, when he talks about making all things new, he's talking about having no more old man, no more old self. Okay? And also, you'll notice when I read this quote, he says that Christ will live in you as you. And they all say this. Christ will live in you as you. Now, resolve that, he says, is that we will be free to be ourselves. If Christ is not only living in you, but if Christ is living as you, if everything you're doing is Christ, then you're free to be yourself because yourself is what? Yourself is Christ. Okay? And we don't have to worry about being the old self anymore, because the old self is gone. It's been replaced with the new self, which is really Christ. And since our self is no longer old and sinful, but new and holy and righteous, we can just relax and be ourselves. This is what he says. Quote, whatever may happen to the physical earth and heaven, the real coming of Christ is within you. If Christ does not come within you, then whatever he does to this outer earth is of no concern of yours. If he comes with 10,000 or 10 million, I don't know what that is. I think it's 10 million. If he comes with 10 million angels and flashing lights and mighty signs and wonders, you won't recognize him. He must die and rise within you. When he does, then you are, but he is living in you as you. Let me say that again. When he does come in you, you still are. He's saying you still are. You still are a person. You still are you. But it is he living in you. It's he living in your you as you. Okay? So he said, you're still there, but now you are now him. He's living in your you as you. And that makes you totally free to be completely yourself. And that means getting back to what we said previously, that all has been irradiated with his own person. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, and therefore in his kingdom, into which we have been translated, darkness to light, everything is holy. Everything is righteous, because he is all those things, and in him we live and move and have every particle of our being. If Christ has set you free, who is it that seeks to bind you? If the Son therefore should make you free, you should be free indeed. John 8:36. If you are of the new kingdom, then you have no restraints on you. If you are of the new kingdom, you have no restraints on you, and there is no one who can lay any sin to your charge, nor accuse you of anything, because the highest court of the universe, because it is God who justifieth, period. Behold, I make all things new. You can't make this happen. You must believe God can and has made it happen in you. So that the all things new is now your reality, your very reality. Let me read that again, because right here this guy's telling you exactly what I've just been saying all the time. He said, you can't make this happen. This whole God creating you new, taking your old nature out, making you a new creation, everything in there is new. It's Christ living you, in you, as you. You can't do that. The only way you do that, you got to believe God can and did do that. Okay? He says, you must believe God can and has made it happen in you. So all things new, that condition of all things new, is now your reality, your very reality. And I think this guy makes it very clear. When Jesus comes in you, all that old that is within you goes. It's irradiated with his own person. That means the old is replaced with the new. Christ is now living in your you as you. Now, there are these people who say Christ is living in you as you. They're really saying Christ has replaced you. You know, and they don't think they believe that. They don't think they're saying that. They will deny that up and down, I'm sure. But that's what they're saying. And denying it don't make any difference. You can't change the truth. The word as has a very specific meaning. Words have meanings. And when it's applied in certain ways in a sentence, there's no doubt about what it means. There's no getting around what the meaning of that word portrays. Okay, now for instance, if I say, Mr. Jones, my neighbor Mr. Jones, is living as a dog, nobody's going to think I'm saying he actually became a dog. Okay, they would know I'm saying Mr. Jones, my neighbor, has begun to live like an animal. And when I was mine, he's no longer living like a rational human being. However, if I said Mr. Jones has come in my dog, and he is now living in my dog as my dog, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Even though nobody would believe what I'm saying, they'd think I was as crazy as Mr. Jones was. They would know what I was saying. They would understand what I was trying to say. They wouldn't believe it, but they'd know what I was trying to say. They would know that I was saying that Mr. Jones not only came and now lives inside my dog, he has actually become my dog because he's living in my dog as, okay? When you say somebody's living in you as you, that means they have replaced you. I don't care how much theological spin you try and put on it, how much you deny it, what kind of crazy logic you come up with to say that, no, that doesn't mean that. That's what it means. And the only reason the writers of these people in this Christ is your website can't understand the meaning of their own words, the words they're actually writing themselves, is because they've been totally deceived. Words no longer have, you know, an objective, concrete meaning to them. Just like their doctrine means just what they believe it means. They believe whatever they want about the doctrine, believe whatever they want about God, whatever they want about the devil. They believe whatever they want to about themselves. They do the same thing in words. They believe words mean whatever they want them to mean. Okay? Words have no concrete, objective meaning. They just believe what they say. This word means blue, then this word means blue. They believe it. Okay? That's kind of unreality these people live in. It affects not just their doctrine, everything. It affects everything. Satan has convinced this guy, Mr. Pruitt, that he has no restraints. Quote, no restraints on his life. Because everything he thinks, everything he desires, everything he does, is coming from the new self, which is really Christ. Because the new self is the only thing that's inside of him. All the old has been taken away. All the old is replaced. Everything in there is new. It's been driven out by the new. And once we enter this kingdom dimension, this spiritual life, this illumination, once we get it, you know, once you get the revelation and start believing this, everything in our life is holy. Everything's pure. Everything's righteous because everything's Christ. And we can just be ourselves. In him we live and move and have our being automatically because he's the only thing in there. Why couldn't you be yourself if that's true? I agree. If that's true, you could be yourself because yourself is holy. Just walk around and be yourself and everything's holy, and everything's right, blah, blah. Problem is, it's not true. It's a fantasy. How is a Christian like me, who still is wrong, who still has been unenlightened, who still thinks I have two natures in me dwelling, I have to fight this nature and put to death one of them, how do I come to experience this wonderful new reality Mr. Pruitt is talking about? How do us morons who still think we have a sin nature to overcome become enlightened? How we realize who we are in Christ and have that become a reality so we no longer have to worry about things. Don't have to worry about checking our thoughts, checking our desires. Don't have to look at what we're doing at all. Don't just walk around and be ourselves. How do we get to that place? You must believe God has made it happen in us so that all new things, reality, it now becomes your reality. Believe that God has made it happen. Believe it. And it'll be true. It'll become your reality. Well, it will become your reality, but it is not reality. It's just your reality. It'll become your fantasy. He's saying, just believe it, and sooner or later, your believing it will make it so. Your believing it will produce the reality of it for you, or at least it will produce the illusion of that reality for you. This is the same basic error I was exposed to the other week. Remember when I discussed Mr. Missionary? Mr. Missionary put a thing out there about faith and repentance, and it was all messed up, it was all perverted. And I was trying to explain to you Mr. Missionary's twisted view of faith. And I explained how in his mind, believing who you are in Christ will eventually produce that reality. Now, he's saying it a different way. Again, not everybody that says this is involved in this false faith, this false fantasy stuff. They're not all saying exactly, they don't get to the same way. Like, Mr. Missionary thinks that if you believe it enough, God's obligated to perform it. If you'll believe it, God has to do it. So God's actually one doing it, but your belief that's driving him, that's convincing him, that's prodding him to do it, okay? These people believe you just already are that. Not you're going to become that or God's going to make it that. You are that. And you're just living a delusion if you don't think you're that. The devil's got you deceived. You are holy, you are righteous, everything you do is right, everything you do is proper. There is no wrong in you. The devil's lying to you, convincing you that there's wrong in you, okay? And once you get enlightened and you believe what the Bible says about you, the old man's dead, the old man was crucified, then the reality of what you already are, bing, pops into fruition and comes into play. So while Mr. Missionary is saying, you must believe this, and it becomes a reality if you believe it because God will move. These people are saying, you must believe it, and it becomes a reality because it is a reality. It already is. It already is. You just need to understand it already is. So they're coming from the different angles here, but it's the same product, it's the same end, and it's the same kind of delusion. It's an error. It's wrong. Okay? I said, like I said last week, or the other week, you know, in Mr. Missionary's mind, if obedience to God that works, that's not a prerequisite for faith. Faith is what you believe, and faith alone produces reality. Okay, and I said that's a fundamental error that lies at the heart of every type of false faith message. Every type. Whether it's a word of faith, what he was preaching, what I'm talking about tonight. I mean, there's dozens of different angles and different ways this plays out. It's all the same root. You believe that believing something will produce it. Whether it's produced directly by some force, whether you're believing makes God produce it, whether your believing brings what is already true into focus, now you stop believing lies. It's all the same thing, people. It's all the same root. Believing produces the reality. Okay? How it produces reality you know, different people come up with different ways. Either God does it, or faith itself does it, or it's already true of you, or you're just kind of realizing it's true. I mean, it's all kind of different angles there, but the key is belief. You must convince yourself something's true. You must believe something's true, and sooner or later, that belief, however it works out, however the mechanics of it comes about, sooner or later, that belief will produce the reality of what you're believing. That's the basis for all false faith. I don't care if you're talking about salvation, justification, healing, getting your finances met. I don't care what it is. All right? And like I said the other week, anytime you hear a preacher or Bible teacher saying that belief alone is enough to create the reality of the thing you're believing, whether the subject's justification, sanctification, victory over sin, the image of Christ, going on to perfection, physical healing, having your financial needs met, whatever, moral, mental, emotional, I don't care what it is, you got to realize you're listening to a false faith message. Now, I can add on this one also, anytime you hear someone saying or even hinting that Christians no longer have a sin nature or an old man to deal with and overcome, you also need to run as fast as you can from them as well, because that person has been completely, completely deceived. They don't give a rip what the scripture says. The only thing they can see is the fantasy world, the religious fantasy world they've created and now live in, and they can't get out of it. That's the only thing you can see. Now, this is what Paul said. This is what the scripture says about born-again believers, Christians who have been born again, Christians who have received the new nature, the new man, the seed, the Christ in themselves. Okay, Ephesians 4:22-25. I'm going to end with this. Ephesians 4:22-25. He says that ye, talking to Christians, Ephesian Christians, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be, that is presently, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye, again Christians, Christian Ephesians, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, presently again, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay? Now the people, all these people, at the Christ is Us, As Us website, they are twisting the scripture. They use the scripture, they don't, but when they use it, they're twisting it to fit their false doctrine, their fantasy, because they're ignoring all the present tense statements of Paul regarding the need for Christians to put off the old man and his deeds. Okay, they're ignoring all the present tense statements of Paul regarding the need for us as Christians after we're born again to put off the old man. If there is no more old man, no more sin nature to be put off as a Christian, if Christ comes in and replaces you, kicks the old man out, there's no more old man to die to, there's no more self to die to, then Paul would not be talking about the need for us as Christians, as born-again believers, to put him off. He would have already been put off. He would have been put off and put out the day we were born again. And Paul wouldn't be talking such nonsense if that's what he believed. These kinds of people preach as garbage. They intentionally focus on statements of the New Testament which speak of our position in Christ. Our position in Christ, which is what we are in actuality and spiritually, how God sees us, what our end is going to be if we keep following the Lord in obedience. They take all those statements about our position in Christ, what was accomplished for us, past tense, and they ignore all the passages which tell us that we must now, present tense, come to possess that position. We must now get our conduct in line with that position. And we do that by putting off the old man, not by ignoring him, not by focusing exclusively on Christ, not by creating a little religious fantasy world, living in it and retreating, not by saying Satan has no power, or he can't have any power to me, or he can't get to me, I'm in heaven, all that nonsense. I'm telling you, Christians are no different than the unsaved. The basic Adamic nature is the same. Adam would believe any kind of lie, he would rather believe any kind of lie, no matter how fantastic it is, than the truth. It's that simple. When the truth is ugly, when the truth is painful, when the truth is going to cost you something, Adam would rather believe any kind of lie, no matter how fantastic. He'll go after and bite it because he can't stand it. Adam lives on the principle of pain, pleasure. He'll avoid all pain and go after the pleasure. That's the Adamic fundamental law. Okay? Every Adamic man avoids pain at all costs and goes after the pleasure. And it's the same thing in theology. When it comes to theology, they do the same thing. Anything that's going to cost them pain, cost them something, cost work, labor, strife, suffering, anything like that. They don't want it. They want all this crazy ideas. The demons, doctrines of demons, these demons produce, and they'll take it because they don't want to suffer. They want to have it the easy way. They want to lay all responsibility for everything on God. They just want to coast through life. And if you want that strong enough and bad enough, God's going to let you have it. He's going to send you a doctor, a theology, a Bible verse, a preacher, a teacher, someone who's going to convince you it's true, and off you'll be down the primrose path for eternity. So be careful how you view truth. Be careful how our attitude is towards suffering and pain and negative things. I'm not saying we should be warped and love evil, love pain, love suffering, love all the bad things, but don't go around just trying to avoid everything that's painful, because you're going to end up in deception in the end. God's going to say, okay, you keep avoiding these things I'm trying to do for you to bring you into my likeness, bring you into my image, and you keep running around and fumbling around and keep avoiding it and getting around me. I'm going to let you have what you want. Here's a doctrine. How about this? All things are new. All things are new. And that means all the old things are gone. There you go. Just relax. Be yourself. Don't have to worry about anything anymore. How people can do that? It's incredible, but they do. And God turns them over to that. I have no doubt it's God that turns them over to that. If you're a real Christian, if you belong to God, He doesn't let that happen to you lightly. You have to fight against Him and fight against Him and fight against Him and fight against the truth until He finally lets you go. That kind of delusion, okay? But anyway, that's what I ran across the other day. I thought, I'm going to just go through this and share some of the things these people are saying so you can see how close it is to the truth, but how far it is from the truth. Can you see that? You see how it's pretty close to the truth if you weren't really paying attention and you start reading this stuff. I mean, I'm pointing out, I'm highlighting the wrong things, but I'm just highlighting the wrong things. There's a lot of the right things all around that. That one paragraph there is wrong, but before that and after that, there's a lot of truth they're talking about. They're talking about things that are true. So, of course, you're seeing it because I'm highlighting the wrong there, but you get a big, long message, and just right in the middle of that message is one or two wrong things being said, but those one or two wrong things are really the basis of the whole message. But all these other things you read before and after, they're really good. They're really right on. They're exactly what God's doing, right in line with what we believe. Can you catch that? Can you catch that one little phrase here, that one little paragraph that's not just wrong, but is really the basis of the whole error they're preaching, and all the other truth that's in that article becomes void, is disannulled because of that one line, that one error there is really destroying it all. That's what we need to be aware of. Not this thing where it's all false from beginning to end. Talk about the pre-tribulation and rapture and all this kind of stuff. That's false from beginning to end. It's when you get one of these long articles and just right in the middle of it, just one line, one little paragraph, and it's not just wrong, it's the whole basis of the error of that article, that everything else is being used to hide and cover. And you get to that one paragraph, you say, well, this article is wonderful except for that one paragraph. So what? I like the article. I'm going to keep the article. It's wonderful. Or you can say, hey, that one paragraph there disannuls everything I just read. If that's true, then everything he's talking about before that is not true. He's just contradicted himself. He's just done away with all the truth he's preached in there by that one statement, by that one phrase, article, or whatever. That's the kind of discernment we need when we're going through these kinds of articles, if we do. Now, it's probably just safe not to read people. Right nowadays, it's probably safe just not to read anybody. Not to listen to anybody. But I don't want to get on here and tell everybody, hey, listen, stop reading everybody. Don't listen to any other ministries. Don't go to anybody's website because I think I'm saying that I'm the only one that has truth and I'm the only one that you can come to. I'm not trying to say that. But I can't help it. I can't help it wherever you turn, people being deceived. I can't help it. That's the day we're living in. That's what Jesus said is going to happen. Many Christians are going to be deceived. Most are going to be deceived. So most Christian websites, most Christian ministries, most Christian books, most Christian teachings you're going to hear right now, they're in deception. Sorry. I didn't make it that way. I didn't play it that way. I don't want it to be that way. I'm not happy it's that way. But it is that way, and Jesus said it would be that way right now. And we have to live in that reality and walk accordingly, circumspectly, carefully. Okay? So if you ever run across these names, you can download this my notes here. I have all the names on there. There's a little picture of all their names. If you ever run across them names, unless you're doing a study, just don't even read them. Don't even read them. I mean, because it's a very subtle deception. Unless you're looking for it and know what you're looking for and have discernment, you might swallow it and end up coming under something. But if you think you can handle it, come across the name sometime, read it and check it out for yourself. It's terrible what's happening. It's so close to the truth, but so far. That's the doctrines of demons. So I don't know if that helps anybody tonight, but I thought I'd share it. I didn't have anything else, basically, this week. So, to tell you the truth, I really didn't. I didn't have anything else. And I didn't want to go in and have nothing. It'd be a very short session because you all don't talk too much. So, anyway, anybody have any thoughts you want to share or talk or speak up or anything like that? Go ahead, speak up. Take the mic. Wait a minute. We got Sissy. Go ahead, Sister Sissy. You got the mic.
Hi, Dan. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Just a scripture, short scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 14. This is something the Lord gave me this week, and it just seems to fit. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Just that simple verse. That's it. God bless you.
Amen. Good verse. Too bad people don't take it seriously. Thanks. Thanks for sharing. That's good. That's right on. Looks like... Hey, Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa. You got the mic? Okay, that's okay. No problem, Lisa. Thanks for trying. Sometime we want to do a mic check night again. We want to check our mics again sometime. Lisa says, I just had several scriptures to quote. Okay, that's fine. You can write them in if you want to, whatever. Joey boy, did I see your hand up? Go ahead, Joey. You got the mic, bro.